All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of the Orlando Soccer Show. It is the second episode of our UCF Special Edition podcast. Last week, we interviewed Coach Scott Calabrese of the men's side. This week, we are interviewing Tiffany Roberts-Zahedek, the women's head coach. She's been there for now. This is her sixth year in charge of the program, has built quite a reputation in the American Athletic Conference, and it was a good talk to her. Mike Ramajo is here as well. He was there with me. Mike, how you doing?
Not bad. Yeah, obviously, yeah, it's another episode as the season winds down in the pro area side of the Orlando soccer scene. The collegiate soccer season is underway, and obviously, yeah, we spoke with Coach Calabrese last week with the UCF men's soccer team, and obviously this week we spoke with the UCF women's soccer head coach Tiffany Roberts-Zahedek, and it was an insightful interview, I like to think. She spoke about the season, a little bit of a background of herself, her journey throughout soccer. We spoke a little bit about NWSL and the Orlando Pride. Very insightful. It was another conversation of just pure soccer. It went from an interview to a conversation. So hopefully you guys like it. Like I said, it's very insightful. And obviously, who doesn't like talking about soccer as much as we do and other people that we've had the privilege of speaking with?
Exactly right. So without further ado, here's the interview with Tiffany Roberts-Zahedek. Hope you enjoy.
Good evening, folks. This is another episode of the Orlando Soccer Show presented by the Fourth Official. I'm here with Austin David, and today we have a special guest. Last week we did the honors of covering some UCF men's soccer with Coach Calabrese. Today we have Coach Tiffany Roberts-Zahedek of the UCF women's soccer team. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today and to talk some soccer.
Thank you. I love talking soccer, so anytime.
So obviously we're already in the midst of the season. It was a little bit of a slow start. Now you got some wins under in the win column. Now there's a little bit of a break, and we kind of just spoke about it before we started recording. It's a perfect timing because it gives the team some leeway going into conference play. So far, from your point of view, what have you kind of seen from the team in terms of, yeah, obviously that little slow start, but then kind of getting some wins, especially against Florida earlier this season as well?
Right. Yeah, it was a slow start, but at the same time, we kicked off our season against UNC in Texas. Mm-hmm. And that was a tough way to start, especially when we didn't have three of our starting players. Two of them were playing in the World Cup. One was still with Jamaica, so Kanya Plummer was with the Jamaican women's national team. So we started off with a bang against two really good, tough opponents to test us to see where we are, where we were at that time. But I think what I've learned, you know, now that we have some games on our belt, is that, you know, we're missing three players that make a difference on our team that weren't with us all of preseason. And I think it just takes time for a team to gel, mm-hmm. you know, and so we've had a few ups and downs, but at the same time, I think it really is a good squad with good talent, and we've had some time now to train together and play together and be together. So I think we're really excited now for conference, and having this weekend off is a good timing for us. I think it gives us an opportunity for our bodies to recover a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, a few bumps and bruises from out of conference, and so now we can give some players a little bit more time to recover and then get refocused. You know, it's kind of like wiping that slate clean and feeling refocused for conference play, which everyone's really excited about.
Speaking about that fresh slate, obviously I usually ask each coach at the start of the season, do you kind of build off from last season, or do you kind of just start brand new? I mean, how was the focus going into this season? Obviously, you just mentioned there were some key players missing, but was it mostly building off from last season, or mostly just starting from scratch and trying to build something new from there?
I think as far as mentality goes, psychology, culture, you can build off somewhat from last season because there's still, you know, returners that come back and have had experience of winning and knowing how we train every single day. And so that culture is still there, and we always build off of that. I think every season it's a brand new dynamic as far as soccer goes and playing and tactics and lineups because, you know, we lost 9 seniors from last season and we brought in, I think, 12 new players from last season. So that's a lot of new people that you have to get acclimated to system, style, the way that we train, you know, expectations. There's so many things that we have to get everybody on board in such a short period of time. This preseason is like 10 days, you know? So, so in a way we do build off of last season, but then on the other hand, it's not starting from scratch, but there's a lot of things that we really have to build because there's so many new players.
Well, is there any difficulty when it comes to that? I mean, I usually ask these college coaches about that. When you have a huge amount of turnover with seniors, you're braced with obviously the recruiting, but then also kind of implementing a new system. I mean, are you used to it by now, or is this something that you kind of, you know, it's part of the nature of college soccer?
I think we just pretty much say, well, it's our job and everyone has to do it. So, you know, we don't complain about it because, you know, everyone else is dealing with the same challenges that we are. So, you know, I take it a lot. You know, it's my responsibility as the head coach is how quickly can I get all these players, or, you know, this year having 12 new players, how quickly can we get them to bond and gel and get on the same page? So, you know, that's what they've got me for. But that's why I teach a lot about leadership and the chemistry of the team. So I think if you have a strong core, then they can get the youngsters to get on board quicker. And, you know, I have no doubt that our culture and the positivity and the way that the older girls lead the younger girls, that's all there. And that all has been kind of building for the past few years since my husband and I have taken over this program. So it is a challenge for sure, but it's just part of our job. And we just see it as a challenge that we have to work through.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago the quick preseason and how short it is. You know, I've talked to different coaches in college and as well as at the professional level, and they say that the way, you know, if you're preparing players for the professional level, the way that the college system is set up doesn't translate well. And there's such a learning curve when they get to that professional level. Not only just with the short preseason and the way the season goes, but just the way that college is structured. Do you feel that there's some growth that needs to be made in order to kind of catch up maybe to the rest of the world in terms of developing players?
I think so. I mean, definitely on the men's side, just because there's not much of a parallel between professional men's soccer and college soccer. And I think that's why on the men's side, they're really trying to change the season and turn it, I'm sure if you guys heard about this, but on the men's side, they're trying to change it and turn it into a 2-semester season and kind of build that out so that they're not squishing, you know, 20 games in 3 months. And I think for development reasons and for that to kind of be more paralleled with the men's side, it makes more sense. It's a little bit different on the women's side, but I do agree. There's definitely going to be that learning curve for any college player going to the professional side. I think one thing, you know, we kill our college players. Having to play 2 games a week, having to play 20 games or more in 3 months, I mean, we're just asking for players to get injured. I mean, it's just a lot for their bodies to take on. But I think overall, like, when they get to the professional level, I think they'll be excited to see that a lot of times they're only playing 1 game a week and coaches can really prepare their teams the way that they need to prepare, even just for scouting reports and feedback after games. It's not so rushed like it is in college. But, you know, it's very exciting. It makes the fall very exciting because it's just very fast and we just got to get after it, you know. And but, yeah, I mean, I think there could be changes made, and I think for the health of student athletes and the welfare of them, you know, having them expand the season and could possibly be a good idea.
Now, the team starts conference play next week at Temple. I mean, what are you kind of shaping the team up to be to kind of take on that new task of trying to have a successful conference season as well?
Yeah, our goal is to have a successful conference season. Our goal is to, you know, win the conference regular season. And obviously then host the conference championship. That would be, you know, amazing to be at home. Such have a great facility here. So to have our home base would be great, like we did last year. So, you know, even some games that we lost this year, there has been necessarily the focus has been on our performance. We've had some really strong performances. And so I think everyone's just excited because, you know, we have created quality chances. We are getting into that attacking third. It's just been that final piece of finishing. And so that's some focus that we need to have in these next, 10 days going into our conference, is just in the final third, can we focus? Because we've created, like I said, a lot of quality chances. So, but yeah, our goal is to win conference. I think we have the talent to do that this year, although we had not the, from when you look at, wins and losses, it's probably not the ideal way that you want to start. But at the same time, I think if we're jumping off now, like, we're just going to keep growing from here, and that's everybody's goal. And I have a lot of confidence in the squad.
Speaking of performance, I know Steph had a hat trick this past weekend, and it's kind of weird because also in the men's side, it was a hat trick as well. you really see that. But when a player scores a hat trick, it's goals, and goals win you games, obviously. But I mean, when you see individual performances from individual players, how crucial has that been so far? And even going into the conference play, do you kind of want to expect that momentum to keep going, especially from Steph as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We want that momentum to keep going and people to build their confidence, as players and then as a team. And, I think Steph is really important to our team's success. And I think she struggled a little bit when she got here because she came straight from the Women's World Cup, or the Under-20 Women's World Cup. And her team didn't, win and probably perform as well as they wanted to. And to go from that environment straight to college environment without a break, I think that's physically and mentally a little bit taxing. And so I think we have had that from Steph, mm-hmm. a physically mental kind of performance from her that's been lacking. And, we've had conversations and she actually didn't start in the last game. Mm-hmm. She really wasn't quite getting it done in the areas where we thought she should. And I think it just gave her a little bit of a spark. And like I said, we've had conversations. And I think after that performance, I think it did give her confidence. And I think she's ready to go. So mm-hmm. I think with Steph being at her best, like, we're gonna be a tough team to deal with, But everybody, not just Steph. Steph's just, one piece of it. It's a big piece. But everyone's performing right now really well, and I'm glad that we finished our last out-of-conference game against Stetson on a high note. Stetson's a good team, but you can play good teams and not score goals, which was our problem for a few games, so I'm glad that we were able to score 5 goals and gain some confidence from that.
So now you're heading in, this is your 6th season now, mm-hmm. as head coach of UCF. In these 6 years, what do you feel that you've kind of learned as being just a head coach? Because you have your background as a player, obviously, as a very high-level player with the U.S. Women's National Team and such, but kind of the transition that you've made from player to coach over these past 6 years, what do you feel that you've kind of learned the most?
Well, I've been a head coach for 12 years, I think, so it's been a while since I've been a player. I really do feel like I have coach's perspective now. I think probably in my first 6 years of coaching, I think it was, more of a player's perspective, and I had to learn that coach's perspective. But now I'm full-on coach. I don't, when I think of the player's perspective, well, what I've learned as a coach is that I try and put on my player's hat often, because I think it helps me be the best coach that I can be. Because I've been in every role as a player. On the national team, I sat the bench. I was a reserve. I was a starter. I lost my starting position. I had to make my way back. So I really have been in every single role as a player. I've been a captain on all my teams. So I know what everybody has been through. So every person on my team, I've been in that role. So I really feel like I can relate and bond with each player on my team and give them the feedback or make sure that they feel valued. And that's something definitely that I've learned, as a player transitioning into coach, is just that connection between coach and player, how important that is, how important it was for me as a player, and how I constantly am thinking about that, because I know that's the best way you can get the most out of your players. And I'm constantly wanting to push them, but also at the same time, I want them to know how much I care for them as a person. And so that's what I'm thinking about, daily.
Yeah.
And I think that came a lot from my playing days and how important and positive my environments were being on the U.S. Women's National Team, especially having such wonderful leadership. I took so many leadership experiences and lessons from the women's national team, whether it's from my coaches or from my own teammates, just because I was so much younger than a lot of my teammates most of the time I was there. I've really brought those experience to you know, this environment here at UCF or just being a head coach. So.
Do you still play at times during your downtime, or is it mostly just family time? I mean, you say you put your player's hat on, but
yeah. Do you still get in the pictures? I'm more of a runner. I like fitness and I like to work out, so I run and I lift weights, but I don't play that often.
Okay.
Mostly just my knee is pretty beat up from my playing days, but you know, every once in a while, not so much in the fall because the fall is so hectic and focused. In the spring, there's a little bit more flexibility, so I might jump into a session here and there in the spring with the girls, which is kind of fun. So I try to every once in a while.
We have now the NWSL championship this weekend. Mm-hmm. Are you following it? And if so, I mean, what are some predictions there? Because it's North Carolina who kind of just ran away with the league, and then Portland who just continues showing some consistency.
I know. You know, Portland has always been strong. I actually have a really good relationship with Mark Parsons.
Okay.
And actually, Tim and I helped him back in the day in Virginia. Coming here to the U.S., we helped him with his green card, actually. So we have a strong relationship. We still text each other throughout each other's seasons and give each other, you know, good lucks and make sure we know that we're following one another. But he's been so wonderful. I know he's a great coach. So, you know, on a personal level, we really want Mark and them to do really well. And like I said, you said it. They've just been so consistent.
Why do you think they've been so consistent? Because it's obviously a repeat of last year, but obviously North Carolina just, like I said, they ran away with the regular season. And Portland just continues to be one of those teams that you really won't go away. They usually stay at top of the table as well.
I think, you know, one of it has to do with the head coach and the leadership and leadership style that he brings. And then also I think it's just the fan base there is amazing too, you know, and to feel that that love from their hometown and just feeling that obligation to your fans, you know, and wanting to bring that day in and day out, and obviously the players too, just having a good group of talented players. It's just a really great culture that they have there that they've built. And I think that helps with the consistency. And then the Carolina, I love the Carolina team because I used to play for the Carolina Courage back in the day in the WUSA. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of my heart is like with them too. But I think, you know, they had started as a team that didn't have a lot of big names, right? And they were just kind of grinders and you work hard. So you kind of root for that underdog because they kind of came from not a lot, you know, and then they just kept it rolling. So... I think that they have a culture of just working hard and it's not about big names and they just get after it, and that work ethic and that culture has helped them. So two great teams that I'm excited to see.
Now, speaking of NWSL, obviously mm-hmm. you have the pride in your own backyard. You know, you've had Bridget Callahan training with them all season, and just having that professional level kind of in your backyard and having like a pathway for some of your players, the high level players, to be able to make it to the professional league. What do you take away from that, and kind of maybe even use that as like a recruiting
tool? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we love having the Orlando Pride in our backyard, and it is a great recruiting tool. I know, you know, Tom Cimarroni's not with us anymore, but you know, I had a really good relationship with him, and they would come and watch our games and give us feedback on our players. And having that relationship with Tom, we were able to bring our players there to train over the summer. And then with that, then potentially end up getting a contract. So Bridget Callahan having that opportunity to do that. And I know Kayla Adamick has been training with them. She's still currently training with them, even though she's not, well, I guess not right now, but on the roster, you know, she's trained with them. So we've had a handful of players that have had that opportunity with them. So to have that relationship and just to be part of a soccer city is amazing. Like, I love saying that in recruiting. Like, you're coming to Orlando. Orlando is soccer, like soccer city here. And to have the Pride and the Orlando City and to be able to go to professional games and watch them and have that connection with professional players, that's pretty cool.
Any thoughts on maybe who might be the best person to take over the Pride?
I have no idea, guys. I don't know. You know, I've been thinking about it, but I really don't know what they're looking for. So We'll find out. Hopefully it's someone I know because I want to make sure I have a good relationship with them.
Well, hopefully it's someone from UCF. Yeah. Coach, the next home game, obviously you guys are on the road. This is the last question here. It's against East Carolina on October 4th. Is there a message you want to get out there to some of the UCF fans, the soccer fans here in Central Florida, to kind of bring them out there and kind of support the team?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we have a really great team with some special players that are exciting to watch. And the more fans that we can get out there, I think the better we'll play. It's nice playing in front of a home ground and making sure that that's an advantage. I'd love to be home and feel like that's an advantage when we're home. So love to see everybody out there. It's a great environment for families. You know, young adult, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know how soccer is. It really is for anybody out there. So, you know, I have two young girls, they come out with their soccer teams and they come out and support. But we have like a DJ out there, so it's fun. I mean, the whole environment is great, and the more people out there we can get, our student athletes definitely deserve the support. So hopefully we'll get people out there to watch us.
All right, well, you heard it there, Coach Tiffany Roberts-Ajeda from the UCF Women's Soccer Team. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, and that was our interview with Tiffany Roberts-Ajeda, the head coach of UCF Women's Soccer. As we said before the interview, you know, really insightful, just kind of a pure soccer talk. It kind of evolved from just talking about the season in general to talking about everything that's going on in the world of soccer, especially in the local area, the benefits of having the Orlando Pride. You know, it was just a really insightful conversation, and it's always great to get different opinions from different people, especially one who's been there and done that with Coach Zahedek.
Absolutely. Obviously, the UCF women's soccer team now going to conference play next week on the road, but they'll be back on the road. Obviously, she kind of said it there as soon as we finished our interview. So yeah, if you guys have nothing to do, I mean, obviously during the middle of the week or even on the weekends, this obviously the professional soccer scene is coming to an end, but there is still a lot of soccer going on around the local area from UCF to Rollins, and if you have listeners from all the way to Stetson and DeLand, you know, obviously there's a lot of soccer. Support local soccer. Obviously, it's the only way to kind of grow the sport. And you know, obviously we have there's developing players, but there's also for fans, because we were at the end of the day, yes, not only are we reporters, but we are fans as well of the game. And the only way to grow the game is to support the game at a local level, at a national level, and at international level when we represent our national teams. So yeah, it was a good interview. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Obviously we did. What do you have upcoming next now, Austin? Obviously, what's in the agenda?
Well, we've got the Orlando City game tomorrow, being Saturday. We'll be live doing a post-game show from there, as we usually do. We'll bring the post-game press conference and then the post-game show afterwards. And then we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming of talking about just every soccer aspect of Orlando next week, hopefully. So, looking forward to that, and hopefully again.
Obviously with the season coming to an end, we do have plans to bring on some more guests. Mm-hmm. To kind of, you know, because content is king, and to have content from different voices is usually good, because obviously it just opens up avenues of discussions and talking points as well. So
yeah, people can only take so much of listening to us, right?
I would be happy if people just listen to us, and while in the, they have holding on their right hand a cold beer with them. That's my ideal scenario of the perfect listener. Obviously, there's people that also listen to podcasts when they're driving to work. So if you're doing that, we appreciate you guys listening to us.
Just don't have the beer in your hand while driving to work.
No, don't do that. Do not condone to that. But if you're at home on your day off in the afternoon, you want to listen to some footy, obviously, you have a little beer with you, Samuel Adams, Oktoberfest, or any type of IPA. I'll be fine with that. But
delving into like different types of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's gonna do it for this edition of the Orlando Soccer Show. We'll be back next week to get to regularly scheduled programming, start maybe getting some guests on as the season winds down, especially in the off season. That will be very guest heavy episodes when we come out with those. So thanks for listening again. You can once again follow us on Twitter at Orlando Soccer Show, at ORL Soccer Show, or just search it. You can search on Facebook as well. We're all over the place, as we try to be. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you later, guys.